Hey guys, good afternoon and welcome to the 330 Sports Show. My name is Justin Coffin. I'll be joined here in just a little bit by Joe Danier. Today is Tuesday, November 29th, 2022. I was trying to check here. I just forgot, but the United States was up 1-0 on Iran in the World Cup. They are in the 71st minute as of this recording. It looks like England's up on Wales. Those are the teams in their group. So that's what's going on right now. This show obviously is going to be very football focused. I am going to start off talking about the Cleveland Browns and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and then I'm going to get into Ohio State and Michigan, the game that was this weekend. Obviously, for the Browns, something we don't get to talk about a whole lot, a win. And for the Ohio State Buckeyes, something we don't get to talk about a whole lot, a loss. So a little bit point, counterpoint, and some good and some bad from this weekend. We also have three local teams from the Youngstown area, Canfield, South Range, and Warren JFK. Canfield and South Range are like 5 miles from each other, which is pretty cool. But all three of those teams are in the state championship game this coming weekend. So I believe Canfield and South Range, I'll show you the kickoff times in a little bit, but they will play on Friday and Warren JFK will play on Saturday. So I'll give you those matchups here in a little bit. But again, if you're just tuning in, we are going to talk Cleveland Browns and we're going to talk Ohio State Buckeyes. So we're going to start off lead off with the Cleveland Browns in about the first 20 minutes or so, and then the last 20 minutes of the show we'll get into the Ohio State Buckeyes. Obviously some good and some bad to talk about, so we're going to get into plenty of that. So let's start off with the Browns and the Buccaneers. This was obviously a great win for the Browns, 23-17 in overtime. So some quick hits from this game. Tom Brady, the GOAT, first of all, that is only his second loss to the Browns in his career. He is 2-7 now against the Cleveland Browns. Only his rookie year, I believe, was his only other loss. But he now falls. This is an interesting stat I saw out there. He was 218-0 before Sunday with a 7-point lead with 5 minutes or less to go in a game. He now loses that one and drops to 218-1. Still a pretty good record there, but nice for the Browns to pick up that win there. The Browns now improve to 1-5 when scoring a touchdown on their first drive. They were 0-5 before this game, which is just a crazy statistic. When you start off fast, you think you're going to get into a good rhythm, a good flow for the game. Same thing with Ohio State. They start off on the opening drive with a touchdown and then, obviously struggled later in the game. In this Browns game, too, there was we've had the possum before that was invaded the stadium. There was apparently a skunk at this game in the Browns stadium that went kind of viral on social media. So we're going to call it the rally skunk, got everybody going, probably cleared some people out of their seats. But I think that skunk had a great time. Some people recorded it. It was eating like peanuts on the ground, probably some like, little scraps of food and stuff like that. Eventually made its way out of the stadium safe. But how did it get in and where did it come from? Questions that are not for us to worry about here. So as long as he wasn't in your section, I'm sure you're good. And then, Joe, did you see the vandalization that happened to the stadium?
I didn't. I listened to it. Okay. Didn't see anything.
Did they mention anything on the radio about it?
Not at all.
Okay. So apparently, and there's a lot of disgruntled Browns fans out there for good reason. So apparently there was some sort of disgruntled fan that broke into the stadium. I believe this was Tuesday or Wednesday of last week. So about a week ago. And this person, I don't know if they got some sort of cart or some sort of machinery from the stadium, but took it on a joyride on the field and left these huge marks, huge divots, vandalized the field. And when they pulled off the tarp on Sunday morning, a couple hours before kickoff, obviously they had worked on it and the NFL checked out the field, but the tire marks were still very, very, very much evident. So
interesting.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
How do you break into a perfect? Let me suggest locking the door. I think when Baker left.
Yeah, he left the keys with somebody.
Did, yeah.
So Baker, maybe it was Baker. He wasn't playing this weekend. So
he did try to like distance himself from ever having played for the Browns. So maybe he was doing an alibi.
Yeah. So I mean, I saw this picture from Chris McNeil this weekend. I added the skunk here, but the plan at first for the turf at First Energy Stadium, hire a disgruntled employee and a fan and go over the turf field. The cornerback, now he didn't actually trip over a divot, but he tripped Gardner Amari Cooper there in overtime right where that tire mark was. So coincidence probably, but then Amari catches that long pass, gets down to like the 3 yard line and sets up the game winning touchdown in overtime. So very interesting there, but had to share that. Before we get into a little bit more Brown stuff, obviously, this was probably Tom Brady's last appearance in Cleveland for his career. He's now 45. But entering Sunday, Fox had the statistics, so I want to give them credit for it. But entering Sunday, he had thrown for 100,374 yards, which when you do the math, you multiply that out, that's 57 miles. 57 miles. First Energy Stadium to the Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio is exactly 57 miles. So I thought that was just a really cool statistic. So I wanted to share that out with Tom Brady. And luckily, he didn't throw for too many yards in this game. And the Browns were able to shut him down for the most part, especially in the second half there. So let's talk about when the Browns win, we do game balls. So I'm going to give out my game balls from this Sunday's game. And we're going to talk about that right now. So Nick Chubb, he is the heart and soul of the Browns. He is, I think, the most beloved Brown on the team right now. You know, there's Myles Garrett, there's Jacoby Brissett, there's a bunch of other guys, David Njoku. There's a lot of likable players on this team. However, Nick Chubb, I think if you took a poll of 1,000 people, Nick Chubb would get the most votes in that. So 26 carries, 116 yards, 4.5 yards per carry. So not his highest yards per carry game, but he did go over the 1,000-yard mark for the fourth straight year. The only other Cleveland Brown to do that, Jim Brown. So pretty good company there. Jacoby Brissett, we all knew this was going to be his last game starting as Browns quarterback, but I just put on there, this is a lame cliche, but he is a pro's pro. He is loved by his teammates, loved by his coaches, and he just got the job done. When last year you heard the Browns say they wanted an adult at quarterback, this is the personality they were talking about. Nothing against Baker Mayfield, but Jacoby Brissett might not be the greatest, most talented quarterback on the roster, even obviously with Deshaun Watson coming in, but he is a leader of men. And I think he's going to be a coach or some sort of politician or some sort of leader in his future outside of football, because he just is fantastic. His numbers, pretty solid overall too. And, you know, based on QBR, which is an ESPN statistic that they factor in, he is the 7th best quarterback in all of the NFL this year based on those statistics. So pretty good company there. About 64%, a 2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. So just great stuff from Jacoby Brissett. David Njoku, Joe's guy here, Mr. Physique, the freakishly built dude, but just goes up and maybe makes, for the Browns, it's definitely the catch of the year, but maybe in the NFL, I can't think of a handful of other catches this entire year, or even watching the Browns for, you know, the 20 plus years that they've been back. I can't think of many more catches that were better than this one and maybe more impactful than this one. This was a 4th down play. If he does not make that catch, the game is over. There's 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Goes up, one hands this ball, and reels it in to get the game to overtime. And then obviously the Browns take care of business and win it in overtime. For the game, only 5 catches for 29 yards, but that touchdown and that catch will be remembered. You know, whether the Browns make the playoffs or not this year, that was just go up and get it. I'm better than you catch. And if you go back and look at that replay, he was actually being held. His jersey was being tucked on, and he caught that ball about 9.5 feet in the air with one hand. And I think it was his left hand, too. So just an incredible play by an incredible athlete. And all those people that are saying, oh, he doesn't deserve that huge contract he got in the offseason. That's why you pay a guy like that for plays like that and to go out and win you a game. Obviously, your defensive game wrecker, Myles Garrett, wanted to get after Tom Brady, who he just considers the GOAT as well. But 3 tackles in this game, 1.5 sacks. And those sacks came at crucial moments in the fourth quarter or overtime on Tom Brady to shut down this Tampa Bay offense. I also want to give the game ball to the entire defense. The entire defense, who's been much maligned this year, has given up a bunch of points, but came in, got the job done, especially after Tampa's first touchdown. They just really got the job done. And I especially want to single out MJ Emerson. That was their 3rd-round draft pick this year out of Mississippi State. Corner stepped up. Greg Newsom was out of this game in concussion protocol. AJ Green, another corner, got banged up in this game. He stepped up and took on Mike Evans, who is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and completely took him out of the game. And that is Tom Brady's usually his big play target. And MJ Emerson just shut him down. The Browns, I know, don't have any first round draft picks this year or next year, but they got a first round talent in this guy, MJ Emerson, who was apparently the only reason he dropped down in the draft was because he was not considered a great tackler against the run coming out of college. But he has proven he is a great, I hate to use the word great, but a very, very good NFL corner. And probably a first round pick if he were in the draft this coming year. And then finally, Joe, our guy, I didn't even know he was still on the team, but Anthony Schwartz, got to give him credit. He scores the very first touchdown of the game on a 31 yard reverse, you know, to get the Browns in the end zone. And I was just like, who the hell is this guy? Like, I had to check his number, and it was Anthony Schwartz, and he showed off that elite speed. And, you know, you get the ball in his hands and good things happen if he can hold on to it. So he also had one catch in the game, but it was for 17 yards, and he had another target. He actually got called for an offensive pass interference, but I think it was a pretty good underrated play because that ball probably would have been intercepted. So those are the game balls again: Nick Chubb, Jacoby Brissett, David Njoku, Myles Garrett, Anthony Schwartz, and for the most part, the whole Browns defense, but I'm going to single out MJ Emerson on that as well. So hats off to those guys for the Cleveland Browns. Just did a great, great job for the Cleveland Browns in their victory over Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So we all know what's coming. We've talked about it. We've heard the hype, but the Browns will take on the Houston Texans this weekend. Now you look at the Texans' record, 1-9-1. They're not a very good football team. And I'll get to the statistics and all that stuff on Thursday's show. But this is the return of Deshaun Watson. He has met all the criteria that the NFL has laid out for him. The suspension, obviously, but going to counseling and making amends and doing, you know, different things, also paid a multi-million dollar fine and agreed to other terms that we're not necessarily privy to. But, you know, he will be back on the field in his against his former team this weekend in Houston. So I know the Texans are bad, but I think that could be a really interesting scene this weekend. I believe the Browns opened up as a 7-point favorite on the road, which is a large favorite for a road team in the NFL. But we'll get more to that game on Thursday's show. But we know Deshaun will take over for the Browns. He is, when he is right, a top five quarterback in this league, which now will bump Jacoby Brissett, which you know is a very capable quarterback in for the Browns, to the backup spot. They actually did waive Josh Dobbs to make room for him. You have Kellen Mond on the practice squad. I have a feeling Josh Dobbs will get picked up by another NFL team. But Josh Dobbs didn't even see the field for the Browns. But, you know, did a nice job as a backup in his time with the team. All right, let's just single out a few players here before we get to the Ohio State Buckeyes and the game against Michigan this weekend. So let's start with Nick Chubb and what he has done through 11 games. He has 200 attempts this season, which is fourth most in the NFL. He has 1,039 yards, which is third most. He's averaging 5.2 yards a carry, 94.5 yards per game. He has 12 touchdowns this season, which is second most in the NFL, and leads the NFL with most explosive runs, which is a run of 10 yards or more. And Joe, I do this every week, and I'm going to continue it because they literally showed this statistic as the Browns were losing. And they're like, just, I got to give, I think it was Jonathan Vilma who was doing the game. But he's like, just keep giving it to Chubb. He's like, run your offense, do your thing. And did you know we do this every week? The Browns are now 4-0 when Nick Chubb carries the ball 20 or more times. They're 0-7 when he does not. So get him the ball and good things happen. So Nick Chubb, hats off to him. The one of the, you know, leaders, unsung heroes of the Cleveland. Well, he will not sing his own praise. Let's just say it that way.
I do have to point out that Buccaneers or skunks do not fly. Just want to point that out.
That's a true. That's a true statement. That's very, very good. I wish Ryan Day had that same record against animals that do not fly as well with the Wolverines. Let's go to Amari Cooper now. Just a couple more statistical things here on the Browns. 57 catches for Amari Cooper, 792 yards, which is basically 14 yards per catch, and 7 touchdowns on the season. So Amari Cooper doing some big, big things for the Cleveland Browns. Remember, they got him for a fifth-round draft pick, a fifth-round pick. So when, you know, like, you're making these trades in the offseason and you're saying, oh, they only got a fifth round pick for that guy. It's like, well, that fifth round pick could turn into a guy like Amari Cooper. So don't undervalue those picks that are brought in or used in the offseason. Let's talk about Joe's guy here, David Njoku, for the season now, including that huge touchdown on Sunday, 41 catches, 464 yards, 11.3 yards per catch, and 2 touchdowns. And keep in mind, he missed, I think he missed 3 games with that sprained ankle. So he is doing a lot of really good things now for the Browns and stepping up to that tight end number one spot. All right, let's take a look at the AFC North this past week, what they did and what's coming up for them. So the Ravens, 7-4, the Bengals, 7-4. Last week, the Ravens fell to the Jaguars, and that should actually be 28-27. The Jaguars went for 2 and got it. And this week, the Broncos will come to Baltimore with the Ravens. The Bengals also 7-4. They beat the Tennessee Titans 20-16 in a pretty good game there. This week, though, they will host the Chiefs. So that's going to be a really tough game, AFC championship game rematch from last season. The Browns and the Steelers, both 4-7. Last week, we know what the Browns did. This week, they will take on the Titans. And then the Steelers last night beat the Colts in Monday Night Football, actually blew a lead and then got it back late. So hats off to the Steelers because they're really not. I love to give praise where it's due, especially if it's a team I don't like. But Mike Tomlin is a good head football coach. And I know some Steeler fans don't necessarily agree with some of the play calls and whatnot. And that's fine. That's on them. But he is a really good football coach. And he has still not finished under 500. He's got to lose 2 more games this year to finish under 500. So we'll see what happens this week. They are at Atlanta. So That's a look at that. Let's take a look real quick at the Browns schedule. We know what they've done so far. Again, 4-7. Wish we could be 5-6 or 6-5 right now. Got a few games, especially that Chargers game, the Falcons game, and most especially the Jets game. But it is what it is. They're 4-7. The Browns have 6 winnable games on their schedule. They can win every single one of those. However, you know, you got the Bengals. That's going to be a tough one. The Ravens, you know, that's going to be a battle. And then the Steelers are always a tough game no matter what. Washington's playing some good football. The Saints are kind of struggling right now. And I don't think this weekend with the Texans is going to be a tough game. Again, it's the NFL. You never know what's going to happen. But that's a look at the rest of the Browns schedule. 6 games to go this season. 6 weeks. That's it. And, you know, it's an audition for Deshaun Watson and Kevin Stefanski as play caller, quarterback, the offense and the defense. Maybe they can sync up a little bit more, and we'll see what they can do. But the Browns have put themselves in a very not advantageous spot, but they have also given themselves a chance with those 6 games remaining with that win over Tampa that the season is not quite on life support, but it's pretty close. But they revived themselves just a little bit getting that win over Tampa Bay. So that's it. That's all that's left. You got 2 home games left. That's it, against Baltimore and then Christmas Eve against the Saints. And then on the road this week against the Texans, you're at Cincinnati, you're at Washington, and you're at Pittsburgh. That's it for the rest of the season. So the Browns, we'll see what happens, but you can just take it one game at a time, hopefully get up to 5-7, and then I believe you got the Bengals after that, and you know the Browns match up well with the Bengals, so we'll see what happens. All right, let's take a look globally, I guess, at the AFC playoff picture and where we stand right now. You have the top 4 spots, which is marked by this line here. So the Chiefs at the number 1 seed, Miami's the 2, and then both teams at 7-4 in the North and South. You got the Ravens and the Titans as your 3-4 seeds. The wild cards as it stands right now would be the Buffalo Bills, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the New York Jets. And you just have a bunch of teams in the hunt for the playoff spot. I did cross off 2 teams. Just mathematically from playoff contention. And that was obviously the Houston Texans. And I'm crossing off the Denver Broncos because, you know, it's time to maybe get off that horse and Russell Wilson and maybe not ride so much anymore in Bronco country. So that's that. All right. So we talked about the NFL. I told you we're going to do about 20, 25 minutes on the Browns, and we're going to do about 20 minutes on the Buckeyes. And obviously that game has left a bad taste in Ohio State fans' mouths. You know, you start out 11-0. Ohio State goes into that game number 2, Michigan number 3. Both teams have really different offenses. Michigan tends to run the ball a lot more. Ohio State tends to pass the ball a lot more. But both are really good at what they do. Ohio State had a little bit more of a balanced attack coming into this game. Michigan was more run heavy. However, they played this game without Blake Corum, their lead running back. I think he had like 2 carries and just couldn't, you know, knock off the injury. But, you know, they had other guys step up, especially Donovan Edwards. Ohio State, not making excuses because they've been without Jackson Smith and Jigba pretty much the whole year. Travion Henderson was out. We found out he had a broken foot. You know, he was nursing most of the season and, you know, played through injury. So, and Mayan Williams just wasn't himself. Dallin Hayden only got a few carries in this game, the freshman. So not exactly sure what the game plan was here, but Michigan dominated this game in the second half. Now, Ohio State actually had the lead in the second half, or at halftime. It was 20-17, but the Wolverines end up getting the 45-23 victory. This was the first back-to-back wins for Michigan dating back since pre-Jim Tressel in 1999 and 2000. Ryan Day is now 1-2 versus Michigan, and again, we're going to talk a lot here in a minute about Ryan Day. Some of the fan base. We're going to talk about expectations. We're going to talk about a lot of things here dealing with Ohio State because there's a lot to unpack. Now, 1-2 record in the last three with Michigan, and obviously that's Ryan Day's record. 2020 was thrown out with the COVID stuff. But don't forget, Woody Hayes was 1-2 in this rivalry to begin his career. And, you know, I'm going to give you a Woody Hayes quote here that says, there's nothing that cleanses your soul like getting the hell kicked out of you. And Ohio State, we know for a fact, especially in the last Ohio State played really well in the first half of last year's game. They played really well in the first. They played good in the first half of this year's game. Left a ton to be desired with not finishing off some drives. But think about this. Does Ohio State have a program problem or do they have a Michigan problem? Ohio State is 21-2 over the last 23 games. Their only two losses are to Michigan. So, you know, if you add up the total sum of last 2 years' scores, Michigan has an 87-50 advantage, which Ohio State, again, not used to losing a ton. These ones hurt. These ones hurt because I think last year was sort of like frustrating because the season ended. You know, it was frustrating. The streak snapped, but this year, you know, you had the hype leading up to this game. You had the revenge factor. The game was at home. It was perfect weather. You know, so there was really no excuses except for maybe a couple injuries, but both teams have to deal with that. And, you know, sort of is what it is. So I want to highlight just one particular thing that stood out for me. Michigan was not a team of these huge, big plays, and they were in this game, especially pass plays. There was three huge pass plays in this game where Ohio State was playing cover one or cover zero, which if you don't know what cover zero is, that's basically you're rushing four, you're bringing your linebackers, you're bringing your safeties, and you're leaving your corners one-on-one on an island. And for those that have watched Ohio State this year, we know cornerback play especially has been one of the big red flags for this team this year. They had a couple young guys in Johnson and Hancock that they hope would step up. Those guys have been either banged up or not quite ready this year. Cam Brown has been in and out of the lineup. Denzel Burke, the other corner, has, you know, kind of played here and there well and not so well throughout the season. But, you know, Jim Knowles put his cornerbacks out on an island, and we have praised Jim Knowles, and he has done, for the most part, a fantastic job as Ohio State coordinator. However, did not do a very good job in the second half. And that could be scheme, that could be talent, players, whatever it might be. But Ohio State didn't get the job done in the second half, and Michigan deserved a win, frankly. And they get the 22-point win, nearly doubling up the Buckeyes. But here's what I want to highlight. Ohio State's defense, for the most part, played really well. 55 plays. In 55 of Michigan's 60 plays, they only gave up 181 yards, which is what? Roughly a little over 3 yards a play. In five separate big plays, they gave up 350 yards. So just inexcusable there for the Buckeyes. So you give up nearly double their total yards in five plays. And, you know, you can't say, well, if you take out those five plays, well, you can't do that. That's part of the game, you know. And Ohio State will tell you that's a team that we're a team that lives on big plays as well. You know, we had a huge touchdown pass to Marvin Harrison in this game. And, but just unacceptable on the defensive side and some offensive question marks here too, you know. There were some play calls. There was a couple fourth downs maybe Ohio State should have went for that they didn't. But Michigan outscores the Buckeyes 28-3 in the second half. Obviously, it was an 8-point game with 7 minutes to go. And then Donovan Edwards breaks off a long touchdown run and then another one on the next series. So it's not like Michigan just like kicked Ohio State's teeth in or just, you know, just beat them up and down the field left and right. No, but they did win the game and they were the better team, especially in the second half. Ohio State had a couple opportunities early to extend a lead and make it a bigger lead and just let Michigan hang around. And all those factors were just just the recipe for success for, unfortunately, Michigan in this game, and just an unfortunate day for Ohio State. So obviously social media is huge. You know, if you guys are watching the show, you're watching it on social media or listening to it via podcast. This stuff wasn't around. It's funny to think Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, you know, Apple Music, Apple Play, whatever it might be, Google Play, Spotify, all that stuff wasn't around the last time Ohio State lost a game like this. Because if you think about it, okay, last year, again, kind of more of an expected outcome last year. The defense, it was a weird year. The defense wasn't very good last year. Michigan, you know, ended the streak at home. You know, again, you could say some fluky things, the weather, Ohio State apparently had a lot of people with the flu that game, injuries, whatnot. But either way, Michigan won. This year, the second half, it just felt like Ohio State got their ass kicked. And frankly, they did. But Michigan made some big plays in the passing game. Again, Ohio State leaving their corners, hung out to dry. But I went through and was skimming social media because I was just curious to kind of get the pulse. I knew what I was thinking and I was obviously frustrated, but I'm not, I like to, I like to take a step back and not just like be like a keyboard warrior or like type out what's on, you know, my mind right at the time. I like to think about it. And then, you know, if I'm going to tweet or if I'm going to put something on Facebook, I want it to be like somewhat thought out, not just like this fiery response and frustrated response. Because I mean, a lot of people do that. And I have to say this because part of it's true. And there'll be people out there that criticize me for this, but Ohio State has kind of a spoiled fan base. And granted, I'm one of those people. They've spoiled us for so many years. And think about this. We're 11-1, and it feels like the sky is falling to some people. And I get that. I get that. The rivalry with Michigan means more than just about anything else in college football. But think about this. Tonight, the rankings come out. Ohio State can still backdoor their way into a college football playoff. Now, again, that's not what we want to talk about. That's the last thing on people's minds. We will address it just a little bit here. But I want to talk about overall program questions that I either saw comments on or that I heard other people talk to me about. So I'm going to just kind of lay these out in just kind of like bullet point form. And then if you guys have any, you know, comments or agree or disagree with me in any way, feel free to, you know, tell me, let me know. So here are some of my thoughts with this. Ohio State is still a top five program in the entire country. However, right now they're second in the Big Ten. Michigan has clearly climbed to the top of the Big Ten and, you know, Ohio State left the door open for them and they have walked right in, waltzed straight in, whatever you want to say. The most frustrating thing to me, though, that I saw on social media was fire Ryan Day. I could not disagree with that more. Now, I will say, if they lose next year, that seat should become very, 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 very warm for Ryan Day. The existential question out there is, are we tough enough? That's not something you can measure. That's not something that is a statistic. That's something of will and want. And are we a tough enough team as an Ohio State culture? A lot of people are questioning that. A lot of former players are questioning that. That's something we thought we had answered, and obviously it was not. Can we run the ball when we need to? Obviously, not successfully as we'd like to. A lot of people calling into question on the play calling on offense and defense. Ryan Day, obviously, your play caller on offense. Jim Knowles is basically the head coach of the defense, and he should be rightfully criticized because Ohio State has a 10-3 lead. He went for a knockout blow on Michigan and sent everybody, leaving one-on-one with the corner, Cam Brown, who is a good player, not a great player, and misses the tackle. Michigan goes in for the touchdown, 10-10. All the momentum shifts right there. And I get it. You know, we'd be praising them probably if they make that sack, but the fact is they didn't. They didn't execute it. Larry Johnson, I've seen some people out there. Now, we know Larry Johnson is a legend. Former defensive line coach with Penn State, has been with the Buckeyes for a lot of years, has brought in the Bosa brothers, Chase Young. You know, right now you got JTT, you have Jack Sawyer, you have Zach Harrison. You got a lot of good players there, but no one is stepping up to be that great, great player. We know what JTT or JT Tuimoloau did a few weeks ago against Penn State, and that was a legendary game. However, show me more. You know, we need to see more. So is it time to move on from Larry Johnson? I am by no means, again, calling for Larry Johnson to step down or move away. I am not someone that is in the fire coach's camp unless it's well-deserved. Is our secondary good enough? I don't know. Is Parker Fleming, the special teams coach, good enough? I don't know. Do we have a problem with the whole program, or is it a Michigan problem? To me, it seems like a Michigan problem, and we got in our own heads a little bit. And again, I put it at the bottom there. This is the first time Ohio State has lost a game like this in the social media era. So if you think way back to John Cooper, social media is not around. You might have AOL Instant Messenger or something like that, but since Tressel took over, the rivalry flipped. So Tressel gets the first two games wins in 01 and 02, loses in 03, and goes 9-1 in his career against Michigan. Then you have the weird year in 11 where Fickell has to come in and coach the Buckeyes in a tough spot, and you lose that year. And then Urban Meyer comes in, you go 7-0. Ryan Day wins his first game against Michigan, but now we have these last two. So that's kind of currently where we stand with the Buckeyes. But I have a few things I want to show you guys regarding, you know, Ohio State and where we're at with that. So if you think about it, Ohio State has been an absolutely elite, elite program in the country. They are second. Let me say that again. Second, since 2019 in overall winning percentage. It's Georgia, Ohio State, Alabama, and Clemson. Those are the only four programs in all of college football to have less than 10 losses since the beginning of 2019. So think about that. And then again, with the head coaches, who are you going to replace Ryan Day with if you're in the fire Ryan Day camp? Just tell me. Is it Luke Fickell, who just got hired at Wisconsin? I've seen the name Mike Vrabel out there. Mike Vrabel is not leaving the Tennessee Titans right now. First of all, I actually think coaching in the NFL is an easier job right now than coaching in college football. When you think about what you have to do in college football, you got NIL to deal with. You got the transfer portal. You are constantly recruiting not only your own players that are on the team, but players all over the country. You're dealing with a ton of other stuff that goes with student athletes. So being a college coach is a lot more difficult, in my opinion, than it is being an NFL coach, at least right now. Now, is it easier to win more games at the college level? Absolutely, if you're at one of those elite programs. However, again, it doesn't mean your job's easy. You got to deal, like, if you think about Columbus, Ohio, I think it's the 16th media market in the entire country. So you got Columbus, Ohio, which is basically Ohio State is bigger than an NFL team. There's more media members that cover Ohio State than just about any other team. So, you know, it's, you got a lot to deal with. And these players are scrutinized. These coaches are scrutinized. And for good reason. I mean, I get it. But it is what it is. And Ohio State should be held to a higher standard. However, let's put things in perspective. I believe Ryan Day, since now he's 45-5 overall in his career. So out of 50 games, he's won 45 of them. His five losses, let's go back and think about him. His first loss was to Clemson in the college football playoff, which was the semifinals. His second loss was the following year in the national championship game. His third loss was to Oregon last year. And then the last two have been to Michigan. So, you know, he's lost some big games. We get that. But he's also got them to those big games as a high-ranked team. And again, Ryan Day, there's some things that need fixed, no doubt. And Joe had mentioned to me, too, it's like the thing that drives us nuts is like when Baker Mayfield planted that flag and then Michigan comes in and some of his their players after the game. You know, I get it. You're excited. You won a huge rivalry game. You got the bragging rights. But you're trying to plant a flag on, first of all, a turf field. And then second of all, if I were Ryan Day, there's a picture of Michigan and all its players sitting around that flag that's planted in the turf. I would have that thing framed in the biggest frame I could get, and I would put it in the workout room. I would put it where the players eat. I would put it in their, you know, in the coach's office and whatnot. And I would let those players look at that thing for an entire year and just know that you let these guys walk in to your home field and you let them beat you 2 years in a row when you're arguably the better team. So again, Ohio State season is not over. At worst, again, it's a consolation prize. At worst, Ohio State will end up in the Rose Bowl at worst against, I believe it'd be Washington. At best, you backdoor your way in to the number four seed in the college football playoff and you would take on Georgia. So to me, I think Georgia and Michigan are locks for the playoff, no matter what happens this weekend. I think if TCU is in a win and in situation, and I think USC, if they win, I think they're in. But if USC loses, I think Ohio State jumps in there as the number four seed and would match up against Georgia. And then TCU and Michigan would play. And then, you know, maybe get a rematch. But worst case scenario, you end up in the Rose Bowl. And again, if you would have won and taken care of business, you'd be the number two seed, maybe even the number one seed right now, and not have to worry about that. But you didn't. And there's consequences for that, and it is what it is. So we'll see. The committee drops their rankings tonight. I'm going to put on our social media sites, kind of just like the resumes and stuff. I'll put that out there for you guys to look at. But there's some interesting things out there because Alabama is a two-loss team. They're probably going to be number six. They don't deserve to be in. Ohio State, frankly, probably doesn't deserve to be in. However, if USC loses again to Utah, I think Ohio State might deserve a shot to get in right now. There's really only six teams that we can even talk about for the playoff spot. And, you know, we've mentioned them all. So that's it right there. So Ohio State is going to sit home this weekend. And again, you can argue, well, TCU and USC made it to their conference championship game. So why should they be punished for earning an additional game? Should they be punished for a loss? Well, I mean, frankly, if it's Ohio State in the Big Ten title game and they lose that game, then, you know, I'd be like, oh, well, they deserve, you know, so I might be like wishy-washy on this, but I'm just going to stick with it and say, if you make it to that game and you lose, there's consequences for that too. So, but again, I think Georgia's locked it up. I think Michigan's locked it up, but TCU will take on Kansas State. Kansas State's the number 13 team in the country. They have a chance. I think it's a 2.5 point spread. And then USC will take on Utah. That is USC's only loss on the season. So Utah will try to have their number again in that game. So lots to see, and it'll be interesting to see where I always think it's funny, but the committee where it's a member, it's a 13 panel. We'll see where they place all those teams tonight. I think that comes out about 7 or 8 o'clock tonight. So we'll check out those rankings and see what happens there. And that will tell you a lot about what they think of certain teams heading into this final weekend, championship weekend, which we will talk about more on Thursday. Final thing, or final two things here real quick before we go. Want to shout out Jaleel McLaughlin, a YSU running back. YSU's season unfortunately ended. They are 7-4, but Jaleel McLaughlin, the YSU running back, NCAA career leader in rushing yardage. So hats off to him, because I mean, what an amazing feat that is. He was nominated for the Walter Payton College Running Back Award, which I believe is the top college running back in the country. I'm not sure if that is at the FCS level or what that might be, but we'll see. But he has done a fantastic job for the Penguins and previous in his career. Also want to give a shout out to one of my former players, who was actually drafted. Joe, this is awesome. We're going to have him on the show in a couple months. But Travis Kuntz, former Texas Tech Red Raider. I coached him in basketball at Boardman, but ended up going to Texas Tech, playing tight end for them there. Got drafted by the XFL this week by the Vegas team. So pretty excited to hear his thoughts and see what he'll do with that Vegas team as the XFL kicks off in, I believe it's late winter, early spring. So we'll check in with him on that. I've touched base with him, so we'll lock down a date and time and let you guys know on that. And then finally, again, I'll mention it on Thursday's show, but wanted to congratulate Canfield in Division III, South Range in Division 5, and Warren JFK in Division 7. So the Cardinals, Raiders, and Eagles will all play this coming weekend for a state championship in Ohio high school football. Amazing just to make it there, but you know, hey, there's one game to go. So let's hope those guys can go out and finish the job for not just this Youngstown Warren area, but you know, for their fans, for their family, but obviously very proud of all those teams. And you know what, we've had Coach Pavlansky on the show before from Canfield, and just wishing all those guys the best of luck this weekend. So want to thank you guys for watching. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. By the way, if you did not see it, over the Thanksgiving holiday, I believe it was last Wednesday, played Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, a movie breakdown of that. The best Thanksgiving movie ever. Maybe the best road trip movie of all time as well. But you can check that out on Youngstown Studios' Facebook page. And I believe it's uploaded to my personal YouTube page, which I shared out there as well. So I want to thank you guys again for watching. For Joe Danier, my name's Justin. This has been the 330 Sports Show. Make sure to follow Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports Show on social media. Appreciate you guys, and we'll talk on Thursday.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the videos and the word about us. Thank you.